In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the words of the angel, the Lord is risen, alleluia. He is risen indeed, alleluia. What a jubilant proclamation indeed. What good news that our Lord has risen himself from the dead by his own almighty power, according to his own all-knowing prophetic utterances. The apostle, St. Paul, exhorts us to be mindful that the Lord Jesus Christ is risen again from the dead. On this joyful Easter morn, then, let us savor this saving article of faith that we celebrate today to stir up our Easter joy as the words of the gradual exhort us. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. First, then, let us briefly recall our Lord's sorrowful passion and how he was crucified and died on the cross on Good Friday at the ninth hour, that is, at 3 o'clock p.m., crucified by Roman soldiers who knew how to torture and kill people to protect their empire, especially from criminals from within. They, moreover, knew how to keep watch, to guard, because if they failed in their charge, their penalty was death. Then, with the permission of Pilate, our Lord's very few courageous disciples came to take his sacred body and lay it in a new tomb. Then the disciples went to hide in the upper room. In no way did they have the courage to make a midnight raid on the tomb to steal the body of Christ, persecuted as they were by both the Romans and the Jews alike, who killed their leader. Notably, then, it was his secret disciples, for fear of the Jews, that came to anoint and bury his body. The first was Joseph of Arimathea, the one who requested our Lord's body from Pilate, thereby no longer being a secret disciple. And Nicodemus, who is the one who besought our Lord by night, asking him how to be reborn. At last, he had his question answered as he placed our Lord's body in the womb of the earth, the tomb, for rebirth by his holy resurrection. The sacramental reality takes place mystically in our rebirth by baptism. Note how in both cases, the fears of these two secret disciples gave way to love. Perfect love drives out all fear. As they realize what our Lord did for them, greater love than this no one has than to lay down his life for his friends. Our Lord's perfect love delivered us from fear of death and even from death itself. From Hosea, O death, I will be your death. By his death, he has destroyed death, precisely in rising again. And very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, that is, Sunday, the first Easter Sunday, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might anoint Jesus. This we hear in the Gospel this morning. There is a seemingly conspicuous absence here. Just 2 days ago, at the foot of the cross, there were three Marys. Now, there are only two. Where is Mary, the mother of Jesus? Perhaps she has taken the same role as her divine son. Absence. He is absent from the Holy Sepulchre. But what does this absence reveal? The reason for Our Lady's absence from this group of holy women is clear when we realize why the holy women were going to the sepulchre. They were going to anoint a dead body with spices, particularly with myrrh, to prevent it from decomposing in accord with the Jewish practice, so that it would remain fragrant and not begin to have the foul odor of decay. On their way, their conversation is about earthly things. The women say to each other, "Who shall roll us back the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" Our Lady, however, has perfect faith. She believed in her son's word and pondered it in her heart, that the third day he would rise. All throughout our Lord's public ministry, in order to draw out faith from the hearts of his disciples, he repeatedly worked all-powerful miracles, like raising people from the dead, curing illnesses, both spiritual and physical, turning water into wine, and multiplying loaves and fishes to show his omnipotence, and indeed, his benevolence. He foretold past, revealed present, and fulfilled future all-knowing prophecies to show his omniscience. The greatest sign, then, the sign of Jonah, is the only necessary sign and greatest motive of credibility to believe in his divinity, and this is namely his holy resurrection. And why? Because it combines both the greatest miracle and the most sublime prophecy. Our Lord raised himself from the dead by his own divine power, by a divine force within his body and within his soul to reunite them, return to life, and therefore rise from the dead. And all of this was in accord with the prophecies he made about himself. Indeed, then, Our Lady, as the most perfect disciple, believed in his holy resurrection. After all, she was the one who believed in her heart before she conceived in her womb. How then could she accompany those to the tomb who were intent upon finding and anointing with myrrh the dead body of the God-man 3 days after his death, after he foretold precisely that he would on the third day rise? Our Lady's absence, then, mirrors our Lord's absence. The angel says, "He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." In contemplating our Lord's absence from the tomb, as proposed by the angel, who sits on the right side which symbolizes heavenly things or heavenly conversation, the holy women learn of our Lord's presence in Galilee. "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him, as he told you." Their lack of seeing helps them to see. Our Lord's absence at the tomb helps them to see the truth of his resurrection with the eyes of faith, and then to see him risen in Galilee. Thus, faith is drawn from their hearts to believe in the resurrection. Gentle and healing, then, are the words of the angel to deepen their faith and bring forth joy. He does not criticize the lack of faith of these holy women, nor does he leave Peter without the hope and joy of seeing Jesus of Nazareth again. Aware of the weakness of the human condition and the gratuitous supernatural character of faith, the young man clothed with a white robe gently encourages the holy women on their way to find their Lord. Be not frightened. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. The angel's words certainly gave joy to the disciples, and in particular, they must have given Peter healing hope and joy, who is likely in sorrow and distress at having betrayed his Lord and God. That very same Lord and God was actually looking forward to seeing him in Galilee. What good news of redemption and joy, gentleness and hope to see the risen Lord. As the faith we have lived, this sacred Triduum teaches us, the mysteries of Jesus are our mysteries. Hopes and disappointments, successes and failures, pleasures and pains, joys and sorrows. We know that these elements are mingled in every life, including that of our Lord, and these elements are to be expected in our own. Saint Peter Chrysologus sums up the fearless joy of this Easter morn quite well, celebrating glory commingled with suffering and demonstrating love that drives out fear, and comparing the holy women and the apostles. He says, "The women were first to honor the risen Christ, the apostles first to suffer for him. The women were ready with spices, the apostles prepared for scourges. The women entered the tomb, the apostles would soon enter the dungeon. The women hastened to express their eulogy, the apostles embraced chains for his sake. The women poured oils, the apostles poured out their blood." The passion and death of our Lord is not the end of the cycle of his mysteries, but it is through his cross that we are led to the glory of his resurrection. Thus pondering the perfection of our Lord's goodness and power in this great mystery, we recall his words, "I lay down my life that I may take it again, and I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." As the two Marys did in this morning's gospel, and certainly Peter and the other disciples did soon after, let us do as Saint Paul exhorts us in this Eastertide, namely, to look on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who having joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Like the holy women and Peter and the disciples, let us seek for Jesus of Nazareth, and we will find him, just as he said, and rejoice in his holy resurrection, echoing the words of the angel, "The Lord is risen, alleluia. He is risen indeed, alleluia." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.